Chapter 7. When the Elves first came to live with us, Mutt didn't think much of them. He was jealous of all my pets, and he was particularly jealous of the Owls, because they took up so much of my time. He never did get on very well with Wall, but after a few weeks he got so he could tolerate Weeps. I think this was because Weeps was so helpless, and because Mutt had to defend him from other dogs and from the neighborhood cats. And of course, Weeps got very fond of Mutt, knowing he could depend on the old boy to protect him. Whenever Weeps was let out of his cage, he would start searching around for Mutt. Once he spotted him, Weeps would give a little whoop of relief and go scuttling over to his protector's side. If Mutt was lying down, Weeps would snuggle in between his paws. Sometimes he would get so close that his horn feathers would tickle Mutt's nose, and then Mutt would sneeze and almost blow Weeps over backward. If Weeps got to be too much of a nuisance, Mutt would try to hide from him under the garage. But that wasn't much use. Weeps would squeeze under the garage too. He hated to let Mutt get out of his sight for even a minute. Mutt's relations with Wall were another story. Wall wasn't afraid of anything that walked, flew, or crawled, and that included Mutt. As far as Wall was concerned, old Mutt was something to be teased and pestered, and Wall used to tease the life half out of him. Mutt was an absent-minded sort of dog. Instead of burying a bone, he didn't happen to be using at the moment, he would often forget about it and leave it lying on the grass. That was a mistake, because sooner or later Wall would see it, swoop down, and carry it off. It wasn't that Wall liked bones himself. Not having any teeth, he couldn't chew them. He just liked to take them away from Mutt. Once he had the bone, he'd put it somewhere where Mutt could see it or smell it, but couldn't reach it. Sometimes he would put the bone in the crotch of a tree just high enough so Mutt couldn't jump up and get it. Or sometimes he'd hide it in the gutters of the porch roof so that the nice rich bone smell would drift down and torment Mutt until he was nearly crazy. Another of Wall's tricks was stealing Mutt's dinner. Mutt used to be fed on the back porch about 5 o'clock each afternoon. When Wall was feeling particularly bored or ornery, he'd play the dinner-stealing game. Having waited until Mutt started eating, Wall would scoot around to the front of the house and set up such a ruckus that it sounded like two dog fights and a cat fight all happening at once. Mutt always fell for it. As soon as he heard the row, he would come tearing around the corner, woof woof woofing, and ready for trouble. But while he was peering around in his short-sighted way to see where the trouble was, Wall would have flown over the top of the house and be gobbling down Mutt's dinner on the back porch. When Mutt got back and found the plate empty, he'd look very puzzled. Being absent-minded, he couldn't always remember whether he'd finished his dinner or not. All he knew was that he still felt hungry. But Wall's favorite game with Mutt was the tail squeeze game. Mutt was already a fairly old dog when the Owls came to live with us, and during the heat of the summer afternoons, he liked to have a snooze under the poplar trees in our front yard. He'd hollowed out a bed for himself in the moist earth beneath the trees where he could lie in comfort until the sun started to go down and the air began to get a little cooler. Wall, on the other hand, never seemed to sleep at all, although according to the bird books, horned owls are supposed to sleep all day and hunt all night. Perhaps because Wall never read those books, he was just as active in the daytime as at night, and maybe more so. On summer days, when I was away somewhere, and there were no kids around to play with, Wall would get bored. That was usually when he'd play the tail squeeze game. After first making sure Mutt was really fast asleep, Wall would begin to stalk the old dog the way the cat will stalk a bird. He always did it on foot, I think because he felt it wouldn't be playing fair to use his wings. Starting from the front porch, Wall would sneak across the lawn, moving so slowly and carefully he hardly seemed to move at all. If Mutt happened to raise his head, he would see Wall standing stock still on the grass, staring innocently up at the sky, as if he were wondering whether it was going to rain. After a long, suspicious look at Wall, Mutt's eyes would begin to droop, his head would sag, and soon he would be fast asleep again. He snored, too. And as soon as the snores started, Wall would continue his slow and careful approach. Sometimes it took Wall an hour or more to cross the lawn, but he did it so quietly and cautiously that Mutt never really had a chance. When he sneaked up close enough, Wall would raise one big foot very, very gently, lower it over the end of Mutt's long bushy tail, and then Wall would let out a piercing scream, and at the same moment he would give the tail a good hard squeeze. Poor Mutt would leap straight in the air, yelping with surprise and pain. By the time he got his bearings and was ready to take a bite out of Wall, the owl would have flown to a limb out of a nearby tree, from which he would peer down at Mutt, as much as if to say, "Good heavens, what a terrible nightmare you must have been having." Mutt would roar and froth around the tree, daring Wall to come down and fight like a dog. Then Wall would make things even worse by closing his eyes and pretending to go sound asleep. Although Wall loved practical jokes, the funny thing was that he never really harmed other animals if he could help it. Of course, if something tried to hurt him, that was different. Then Wall could be dangerous. But he certainly wasn't the fierce or bloodthirsty kind of bird that owls are supposed to be. He wouldn't even go hunting on his own. If a gopher or white rat happened to get loose on the lawn, he wouldn't touch it. However, there was one kind of animal he would attack, and that was a skunk. It seems that all horned owls just naturally hate skunks, though no one knows the reason why. What's more, horned owls are the only thing I know that will eat a skunk, and they even seem to like the taste. Our house in Saskatoon stood close to the river, and along the bank of a river was a regular jungle of bushes and poplar trees, which made an ideal place for skunks to live. Because they didn't have any enemies in town, the riverbank skunks had become so cocky they would stroll along the sidewalk in front of our place as boldly as if they owned it. That was before Wall came to live with us. Cocky as ever, one of the riverbank skunks decided to take a walk down Crescent Avenue one summer evening, just after Wall had learned to fly. The skunk came strutting along the sidewalk, quite sure that nothing in the world would dare to bother him. He ambled along, taking his own sweet time, until he got under the overhanging branches of our poplar trees. Mother and Dad and I were having dinner. The dining room windows were open because it had been such a hot day. All of a sudden there was a great swoosh of wings, and there, on the windowsill, sat Wall. Before any of us had time to move, he gave a leap and landed on the floor beside my chair. And he hadn't come empty-handed. Clutched in his talons was an enormous skunk. The skunk was dead, but that didn't help matters much, because before he died, he had managed to soak himself and Wall with his own special brand of perfume.
"Hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo,"
Wall said proudly, which probably meant, "Mind if I join you? I brought my supper with me." Nobody stopped to answer. We three people were already stampeding through the door of the dining room, coughing and choking. Wall had to eat his dinner by himself. It was 2 weeks before we could use the dining room again, and when Mother sent the rug and drapes to the cleaners, the man who owned the shop phoned her right back and wanted to know if she was trying to ruin him. Wall didn't smell so sweet either, but he couldn't understand why he was so unpopular all of a sudden. His feelings must have been hurt by the way everybody kept trying to avoid him. After 2 or 3 days, when even I wouldn't go near him or let him come near me, he began to get very unhappy. Then an idea must have come into his funny head. He must have decided that we were mad at him because he hadn't shared his skunk with us. So, one day, he went down to the riverbank and caught a second skunk and brought it home for us. By this time, he was so soaked in skunk oil that you could smell him a block away. Some of our neighbors complained about it, and so finally my father had to give Wall a bath in about a gallon of tomato juice. Tomato juice is the only thing that will wash away the smell of skunk. Poor Wall. By the time Dad was through with him, he looked like a rag mop that had been dipped in ketchup. But he got the idea, and he never again brought his skunks home to us.